Hebrews chapter 11. Today we are going to start in verse 23. Today we're going to be talking about Moses. We've already gone through and talked about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and their great faith. And now we're on into Moses. Somebody can read verses 23 through 28.
By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them.
All right, thank you. All right, so talking about Moses, this takes us back to the Old Testament. And we know we finished up Genesis, so now we are in Exodus. Exodus chapter 2. All right, now Moses' birth is covered in chapter 2, but I'm going to read a little bit of chapter 1 to kind of give us a little bit of background. I'm going to start off in verse 15. Before we get started, so at this point we know Joseph has died, right? He had a great relationship with Pharaoh. Second in command, he's died, and now a new king has arisen over Egypt, and he didn't know Joseph. Of course, Israel has grown too large and too mighty, and they've got to figure out what to do, and so they've been oppressing the Israelites. Let's go to verse 15. Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah, and the other, Puah, when you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, why have you done this? And let the male children live. The midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before midwives come to them. So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew strong, very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. In chapter 2, verse 1. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw a child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. All right, let's go ahead and stop there. Okay, so first of all, what was the edict that was being discussed? What did the king call to happen to the firstborns? The firstborn meant boys.
Well, all the boys, wasn't it?
I think it was the, every son that is born to the Hebrews. Supposed to be cast into the water. So there's the eating, right? Yeah. Firstborn boy is supposed to be cast into the water while the girls were able to live. And it's interesting that verse 23 in Hebrews says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. It's interesting that, anybody have anything other than an ESV? You've got the, what is this, how's it described?
KJV, verse 23?
Verse 2, I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 1 in Exodus. Sorry.
I would obviously lose a sword drill.
I've got that he was a fine child.
And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months.
Okay. Mine says healthy or beautiful.
Healthy or beautiful, okay.
Yeah. Like it has healthy in the footnotes, but then it says beautiful in the text.
Right. So the Hebrew word is, I can't pronounce it, tubi. T-O-B-E, and is used 361 times as good, 72 times as better. It means good, pleasant, or agreeable. Now, as I'm looking at it, it also is used in Genesis 1:4, Genesis 1:10, and Genesis 1:12, Genesis 1:18, when God says good in the creation account. So I'm going to go to Genesis 1:10 and read it to you. All right, God called the earth, the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Verse 12, the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to his kind, and God saw it was good. And I could just keep going on and on with the creation account that God called that good. And now Moses is born, and his parents, they conceive more son, and they use this, the same word, that he's a good child, a goodly child. That's interesting how they can look at him and just know that he's good, he's destined for great things. How much, can we grasp how much faith that had to, his parents had to have to just completely ignore the king's edict, right? The midwives ignoring the king's edict.
Well, one of the things that I was noticing was throughout this whole chapter, it's by faith, Abraham did this. Isaac did this. But then it says in verse 23, it says, by faith, Moses was hid by his parents. So the subject of that is actually the parents.
The parents, yeah.
So Moses does get his own verse later because he did refuse.
Right.
But the focus in 23 is the fact that his parents had the faith
right to
do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he had no control over that.
Exactly. Yeah, I think the parents, I think the midwives. I mean, really, the midwives completely, they feared God more than they feared the king.
And God blessed them there.
And God blessed them.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and even Moses' mother is blessed because she gets to continue nursing her child.
Right.
I also like how they say it's blessed them with family, like just reinforcing the idea that having families itself is not just us willing it, like it's an intentional blessing.
Right.
God.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What about today? What if the government said, okay, hey, you guys can't gather together? Oh, wait, we went through that.
Yeah, yeah.
We went through that. Are we supposed to just go ahead and follow what the government tells us, you know, you can't do this? At what point are we supposed to say, okay, no, we got to push back?
I think we could go to Acts and what Peter and the apostles said to, you know, whether it be right or wrong, in your eyes that we have to do what God says.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's my paraphrasing of it. That's
right, right. Yeah, absolutely. So we are supposed to obey our earthly rulers, right?
Yes.
Ephesians, I'm going to go to Ephesians 6:1 real quick. If I really wanted to be quick, I would have had this already open. And I was going to make fun of Natalia. She left. Okay, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. I mean, that's, okay, that's, we're supposed to obey our parents. That's our earthly authority. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 14.
We got to verse 27 yet?
No.
Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Again, you know, I think what you're saying is a perfect example of why we can go ahead and, you know, there are certain times when we need to push back. Okay, we can't just, if they're making us go against what God wants us to do.
And we need to be prepared for the consequences of it.
Right.
Because yeah. Just because we decide to that we follow the Lord's will and it goes against what the secular world says, we still have to be prepared for the secular world's punishment on us, for lack of a better term.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And I guess one example recently was this last Friday, I had to sit through a briefing about inclusion within the military, and I didn't say anything, but I guess, you know, what would we do as individuals if we're called upon and they say, well, what do you think, Jordan? Do you think that we should help support these people? Like, what am I going to say? I mean, they didn't call on me, but what would I say if they did call on me? Because would I be willing to call good evil and evil good? And it sounds trivial. Honestly, it sounds very trivial. You say, oh, well, you don't have to. I mean, if you just go along to get along and affirm the LGBTQ+, then, you know, you're being kind, you're being nice. But it sounds trivial to go against it. All for what? I mean, I mean, they couldn't fire me, I don't think, but they could certainly do things to my career such that it's effectively firing me.
Yeah.
You know?
Somebody I know who was dealing with that in a command position, like, had to basically got around it by just saying, hey, the Army requires me to tell you this, and laid it out, and then just left it at that, and had decided, you know, if I'm asked my personal opinion, then I'm just going to be honest. Thankfully, it didn't come up. He just said, this is just what the Army requires of me. So as a way of, like, kind of, I don't know, trying to balance between that, but it was a really difficult. I remember that was kind of a difficult conversation. They're asking my opinion on, you know, what to do.
So I guess to take the argument a little bit further, like, what if I'm asked or someone else is asked to take a command position, and in command say they have policy letters that are mandated.
Yeah, if you just say, like, you support it and all this stuff.
Right. And so you support, like, equal opportunity of employment, you support sexual harassment response and all this. Well, what if you actually literally have to sign your name saying, I support, you know, homosexuality in the workplace, I even celebrate it, like, what? So I don't want to make a big discussion out of it, but I'm just thinking, like, you know.
I actually think there are ways that you can write.
You can write your own policy.
Yeah, and you can write it.
My first sergeant.
Diversity. I agree.
I support diversity.
I support diversity.
My first sergeant sent me.
Your definition of diversity might be different than that.
I mean.
I support diversity of thought.
Yeah.
Like, I got, like, an email with a bunch of Word documents. So I read them all. It took a long time. It was really annoying. But for that very reason, I read them all so that I knew what I was putting my signature on that was going to go up on the wall before I did that.
Yeah.
It's a difficult time to be in the building.
Yeah.
You guys, just think about
it's really
that
important.
At all.
That said, it's really important to just be ready personally. You know, have some savings set aside. Have some. You know, don't be so hyper focused on your career that you're ignoring what other options might be available to you. You know, keep your options open. If you ever. The door closes, you've got a couple ones that are ready to open.
I've also had to deal with something similar, where it's basically you're given an ultimatum, and I tried to approach it with the religious exemption, if it's an option. If not, if you won't afford me that opportunity, then it was difficult, but I have made peace with whatever God willing the outcome of this be, if you keep me in this position to stand for that, or am I subject for removal, I will be ready for that. And I had prepared for that removal, but I was actually given an exemption from the thing I didn't believe in, and it worked out. But I just put my faith in whatever your will is, I accept.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, very difficult situations, and kind of that way are we kind of being persecuted because we believe and we don't accept that that's a right way to live. Right? Right.
And just something got to me is, I don't think this goes opposite of what people here do. But I think part of being able to have that voice, if we're talking more in the workplace here, is first of all, you need to be a good worker. You need to have that foundation to be able to say, you know, you're not the guy who is taking off all the time. You're not the lazy guy or gal. You're the productive worker. And so that gives you credibility, because there are some out there that will use religious, you know, I don't believe that. Well, okay, you're not doing much in the workplace anyway.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think the best example of all of this is Daniel.
Yeah.
And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah.
And they refused to worship the golden image, and then Daniel refused to stop praying when he was told he wasn't allowed to pray.
Yeah.
And I think that when I was in company command, I read Daniel during that time because I was afraid of ending up in a situation imminently where I would have to stand up for my faith in God and stand up for the right thing and suffer the consequences. Those guys were thrown in a furnace.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So that maybe for some people that may seem like an extreme example right now, but I don't think we're actually that far from it.
And on that, what they did say before the three were thrown in, they said, "Our God is able to deliver us, but even if He doesn't, we're still going to believe in that." And so, don't take that He's always going to. Just because I've chosen to do this, not always are you going to come through the fire. He might take you home.
Yeah.
And that's an escape also.
Yeah. Just be strong. Strong enough to stand. Strong enough to stand for what you believe in.
Yeah.
Strong enough to stand for God.
Yes.
Right? Look at the midwives.
Yeah.
They were rewarded.
Yes.
Moses' mom, she was rewarded.
Yeah.
Into the Nile River, the very river that he should have been thrown into, he was saved from that Nile River.
Right.
So just trust in God that He will provide you.
Yeah.
All right, somebody want to go ahead and close this on prayer?
Yeah, sir. I will.
Okay.
Our Father in heaven, holy God, creator of the earth, owner of everything, we praise you and we thank you for allowing us time to study your word. We thank you for this good discussion. We ask you please bless those that are here and help us as we go to live for you in this week. And also for those who are about to go hear Pastor Sean, we ask you please help it, the word, delve into our hearts and let us be able to live that out throughout this week, all of us who have heard it. And guide us in all your ways and help us to be a light into the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.